Hey, y'all, welcome to season one, episode two of Recollect, Family Secret Story and the badass filmmaker Leslie Cunningham. I'm with her on a 70 degree warm day at Rafiwa's Book Cafe in Durham, North Carolina. In the episode, we say it's November 21st for some odd reason, but it's really November 11th. And we also try to say the name of the coffee shop, and we say it all kinds of ways before we get it right. We talk about Black women's abandonment, self-worth, family secrets, family legacy, death, and the badass boss bitch Black woman, Leslie, who brings the story all back around for her family into some generational healing. If that didn't bring us enough laughs and stitches, then we put some local color in there by paying attention to all the things on that southern urban Black corner, like the church, the hot dog shop, and the guy who was riding down the street on his bicycle free-handed and smoking a joint. Enjoy, y'all.
I wish dude would come back with
me. We just talk. I mean,
that's funny. Okay, are we gonna read them?
Huh?
Oh
yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna read this, but also you were talking about your mom.
Yes.
I was talking about our moms.
My mom is obsessed with Travis Scott, the rapper, and the horrible incident that occurred last week at the Astro concert, something, something. Yeah.
Yeah.
The things moms are worried about.
Yeah. They do a lot of worrying. I'm going to read to you this, I got to find it first. Part three. We're sitting at, where are we at?
We are on the corner of Driver Street in Angier in Durham, North Carolina, at Rothawina's Bookstore.
Oh, Rothawina's. Right? I don't know, but I like
that's how you say it.
Rothawina's Bookstore.
Across from Joe's Diner, the home of the 1 pound hot dog.
And it's real Black. I mean, this is Black Durham. This is Black Durham before the, it's like the colonizers are coming. So you could tell they're coming, but they haven't all committed to it yet. So it's still black in that way that we can all.
Do you pronounce it Rothawina? Say it again. Rofiwa.
So we're at Rofiwa's.
And
I'm here talking to Leslie Cunningham, filmmaker,
local Durhamite.
Local Durhamite.
Indeed.
Dancer.
actress extraordinaire.
Actress. A dreadlock sister. We can make a rap.
But you know, it's not just Black. This is a gay.
Yes.
A very queer establishment.
It's Black,
it's
and,
black
queer.
And queer. So we're like right at home.
So we're right at home out here on a 70 degree day.
Yes.
In fucking November.
Yes.
November 21st. But anyway, I'm going to read to you something, and you can... This is from Recollect.
Okay.
This is the opening to part three. And that's the traffic in the background, because it's real. Because where we're at, it's real. You know, there's dump trucks and fall leaves.
Yeah, we're in the city.
People going someplace. I don't know where the hell they're going, but they're going someplace. They got the, cars all waxed up and shit. So anyway, okay. So, the gospel according to Sankofa,
okay.
She who is abandoned by and restored to her mother's love. So this is part three. That's it. Mm-hmm. The title of part three. We all suffer from abandonment, stress, and trauma. That stress is part of what helps us to healthily seek what we must have in this life. Intimacy, love, connection. Each of us was taken from our mother's womb, the enclosed and cased place where we developed enough to be able to live outside of her, separate from our first connection. We seek from then on to be connected again to her or those who can provide what we got for that short time inside of her. We seek to make connections with others. Our bodies and brains need intimate human connection in order to continue to develop and grow in the way that we needed that for life inside of her, when the connection was the human touch around us and the portal for nutrients that flowed from her body to ours were certain, even if toxic, it was certain. Black women's abandonment is unique in that our removal from our mother reawakens the generational removal from our mother way back on the day we were the 9-year-old removed from her side, or the 3-year-old removed from her breast and stolen away because we would be someday strong enough to feed the capitalism machine with our working bodies. That abandonment is deposited in our DNA chain, and every time someone leaves us or our own mother does not protect us from the predators who were her predators, the trauma wakes up as dis-ease and stress because in our embodied lives, period. Clearly, I need to do some editing. In our bodies, it wakes up the DNA protein ghost of our mothers and grandmothers back to the woman she was removed from on the motherland. Our deceased mothers do not know better than to be in reaction to capitalism, than to thrash about trying to get free of what has captured them. They leave us again by beating out the stress leveled on them in white society, yelling at us, leaving us to go get the jobs denied them in their country, or mechanically loving us with words but without the emotions they are detached from. We can't go home to her. We can't go home to her, can't wake up to our own health until on our own volition we release her from wrongdoing. It was not her fault. We might say it was her responsibility. Not if she didn't have the awareness that you are getting from reading these words and from assessing your healing. Her life existed on the road to Black women's evolution and healing, where she did what she did, knew what she knew, did the best she could, so to speak. And then there was you, born into a type of awareness seeking where right knowing and right doing can meet up and you can let go. Release all of the angst of not belonging in such a way in this body, in this lifetime, that the proteins of DNA get your inhale of love and compassion and are healed, and appreciate your exhale of all that doesn't serve you and are healed. Right now, you might exhale, and at the same time, your brain might be re-engaging in the battle and saying, Zelda, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm talking about the missing link in our discernment. Over our difficulty in finding healthy home and healthy love is in the white superiority lie and actions that have from day one in 1619 required the participation of our Black female bodies and minds in order to keep the capitalism machine fueled. You better answer that phone. To heal, we have to start with releasing our mothers from blame. So there's more, but that's enough. I actually needed to hear
amazing.
That.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's good.
So one of the questions that I have for myself, I was thinking about the ways that this is actually showing up in my life right now today. Mm-hmm. You know, in the ways that just with the real talk of it, like you know, trying to deal with. I talked to my daughter this morning about, you know, trying to be in a place of love and compassion with yourself and love and compassion with somebody who might be doing some dirt, kind of subconsciously doing some dirt and manipulating in a way that maybe you or my own mother might have done similar manipulations. Mm-hmm. And learning how to, you know, with my mother over the years, with other women in my life who over the years who I love unconditionally while loving myself unconditionally, mm-hmm. have learned to say that doesn't work for me, that hurt me, and be vulnerable and say that, and then move them to where I need them to be in my life. And even if something else happens, mm-hmm. you know, it's like I still love them, and something else happens, well, I gotta move you again. Mm-hmm. But where it's like learning not to be in that space that doesn't serve me, it appears to be strong but it doesn't serve me, of where I have to just be like some shit shows up that's kind of like some shit that my mother did, and then I got to just cut people off.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm just cutting you off. You know, that way I don't have to deal with if you're going to do any shit like that again. You know, but it's, but more, like I get to have more of the nutrients that I need in society if what I do instead is just move people
to where is honestly true for them to be able to be. And all of that actually does have to do with my mother and with my mother love.
Yes.
You know, or lack thereof.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think about this idea of how when we were younger, we were supposed to be taught, maybe by our mom or dad's, worth.
Supposed to be.
Good old self-worth, you know? But how can we be taught that if they weren't taught that? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's so many people, so many black women that walk around with very low self-worth. They don't, you know, they need others to validate them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just passed down from woman to woman, generation to generation, you know. So that was something I had to work on, was finding my own self-worth that was never really taught to me by someone who wasn't taught to them,
yeah.
You know? And so, yeah.
What do you do to work on that self-worth? I mean, what do you do to, because that's another thing, is just like, you know, what do you do in your daily life to remind yourself of that? I mean, there's the chant. So I've been like doing a, with my students and with myself, with my clients and with myself, and the black women who I work with every day, who I love so much. Just saying every day, wake up and say, I am worthy. I am worthy,
yes,
to be nurtured, provided for, and protected.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully those words then begin to, the practice of saying the word, just
mm-hmm.
like, but then what would be the practice, you know, in terms yeah. of, you know, then what do you do with, for instance, the same, you know, the same women and myself, you know, we're all in workshop space together, all in loving, healing community space
mm-hmm.
together. Writing about and then learning, realizing, oh shit, we're all writing about how somebody is actually in relationship with us who just won't do right, who's just like doing some backwards ass shit, you know, cheating or just not showing up for you, like
yeah.
somebody didn't die and they just not showing up, or some, or you're sick and
mm-hmm.
you showed up for them but they ain't showing up for you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so when it comes to that in your daily life, you're actually living in situations where people are being one kind of way, and you're actually thinking you're going to get your self-worth
mm-hmm.
by being good, by like, that is my self-worth, isn't it? I'm loving on this person and they might do better, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you practice that?
Yeah. That's a good question. I'm still working on it, but I think in addition to the daily affirmations, it's the practice of doing things for self
mm-hmm.
that have nothing to do with anyone else. You
mm-hmm.
know, writing a song, painting a picture, you know, spending time in nature all by yourself, validating yourself,
mm-hmm.
loving yourself, and just trying to have compassion for others. But also, like you said, setting your boundaries so clear.
Yeah.
But the affirmations have to be every day.
But what about if you just want love, you know, and you set your boundaries and you're walking in the woods and everything. You're like, this is lovely, but my ass is fucking lonely. You know, what do you and it's almost Thanksgiving. And I mean, what do you do with all that?
Yeah, you got to turn it inward sometimes, you know, that self-love. You just got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to eat Thanksgiving alone. If the table that you're hoping to sit at is not, you know, well and healthy and good for your soul, no, you gotta eat alone.
That's a word.
I'd rather eat alone.
That's a word. Yeah,
you feel me
too.
Like you gotta make better choices, you know.
Yeah
absolutely.
And have faith, you know. I think that's one
mm-hmm.
thing that can be very complicated, you know. I've had a lot of trouble with that in the past, and I happen to just be in a different place but in the past I've had a lot of trouble with like having faith that if everything in nature is set up where as long as there is breath, as long as there is life, there are matches in nature for that thing to have what it needs in terms of its nutrients and everything. And I am a living creature. And so being like having faith that as long as there is breath in my body and I'm moving around and being and in the ecology of other humans
mm-hmm.
and other plants and other animals and everything, that I will have what I need, that that the companionship that I need will show up. I just have to be present. But that having faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, can be,
mm-hmm.
I think, really complicated for some people,
yes.
because it's like,
But then for me in the past, what I've had trouble with is being like, but yes, I deserve it. Yes, I'm worthy of it. And why can't I have it? And why don't I have it? And I need it now. And all that kind of talk inside of my head, mm-hmm. rather than just, as my yoga teacher says, be still, there's nowhere to go.
You know? That's nice.
Yeah. Be still, there's nowhere to go.
And, you know, in Buddhism, it's all about Buddhism. The primary things we look at is impermanence, mm-hmm. things changing, being really present and open to that change.
Yeah.
And not looking so far into the future, but, you know.
That brings up, I had a thought about, I had a thought that has just continued to bloom, develop, and...
It was that dude that was smoking the joint.
Oh, there's the dude on the bike who was smoking the joint.
Yeah. Durham.
Riding in the sunshine.
Enjoying his lovely day.
Loving in the middle
of
the day.
Ain't bothering nobody.
Smoking his joint.
Chilling. Straight chilling. In these Bull City streets. I love it.
I know, right?
That's why we love Durham.
That's what it's all about. You know? He's been here now. You know? He's following the lack of permanence.
Absolutely. Doing all that self-love.
I know, right?
But
nobody had to tell him, you know?
That's right.
But I have been thinking about, like, this thought had started with me when I was coming back from out of town. You know, with my ex-partner, and I was saying we caught in the conversation about being together and breakup and all the tanglement of it, because we won't have the conversation of death. We want to accept mm-hmm. that death is as much a part of life,
indeed,
you know, as life is, and we only want to have the conversation about life.
That's
the
right.
life of the relationship. But if we're ignoring the things in the relationship that are signals of change and ending, mm-hmm. Which is connected to mm-hmm. in a microcosm of our understanding of and our acceptance of death, mm-hmm. you know, that if we can't have that conversation, we can't be present
right.
in real time in their relationship,
yeah.
because it means that we will be present, but we will be denying mm-hmm. that ending is possible. We will be not denying if it's fucking standing right in our mm-hmm. damn faces.
Which is what causes suffering. Unless, you gotta, you know. Suffering is inevitable, especially if you're not willing to admit that change is you know, inevitable. Mm-hmm. So you know that eventually things will die, things will change, things will re-bloom.
Right.
You know, and it could be that one relationship, but, you know. To recognize that things will change is to recognize that suffering is, you know, part of life.
And to sink into it. Because inside of there, so like inside the darkness of winter, which is coming.
Mm.
So people be looking at these fall leaves that are falling all around us right now.
It's beautiful.
Yes. They be looking at these fall leaves and they're like, oh, this is so beautiful. And oh, Lord, here comes winter. So they be thinking both of those things at the same time. Like... they be thinking, oh, it's orange and green and red, and they be thinking, and death is all around me. But it's like, yeah, but you have lived it enough times to not only know that it is gonna be light again, but that you don't have to sit inside of the darkness waiting out the darkness to mm-hmm. get to the light.
Mm-hmm.
There are gifts inside of the darkness.
Indeed.
There is food in the darkness.
Indeed.
There's like food at the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. There is there's life in there. There's a party in mm-hmm. there somewhere. You just gotta find it.
I know.
There's a
it's
good
true.
Nap in there somewhere.
Yeah. Death equals transformation,
yeah.
equals transition, equals, you know? So it's all in how you look at it, you know?
Yeah.
Transformation is a beautiful thing, you know?
So you just finished a project that I just saw the film, Jigshow,
Leon Claxton's Harlem in Havana, feature documentary film about my family's legacy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
What in that family legacy is the biggest sort of emotional lesson for your life that you feel like you learned, like in making that film? I saw all kinds of stuff on the screen, but I might have just been projecting
self. So much. My God, I learned so much. It's funny, the film journey and any art journey, you never know where you're gonna end up at the end, or you know, But for me, I think the biggest part of it, because it was very historical, but there was also a huge family legacy aspect to it. And it took me like 10 years to finish the film. And I think the reason it took so long was because it was intertwined with family and yeah. death and, you know, transformation and families, black family secrets. And
yeah.
And so it was, I had to work with closely with my family to resolve some old past dead stories that, you know, that our family was holding on to. You know, just black family secrets that we, you know, that we all deal with. So that was the deepest transformation for me, was to help my family confront the past mm-hmm. and let go of that past.
Yeah.
And now, today, 10 years later, I have reconnected with lots of family and even met new family that maybe I wouldn't have met at all had I not been on this journey. So it's just been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question. What, when I think about our DNA mm-hmm. and everything, and even the things that happen in your life and in your body and your walking around in this world every day, like, what, first of all, what specifically was the secret? And then how do you think that it was impacting your everyday life to, for that secret to be in place until you brought it to life through story and through art and by bringing it forward for your family?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like, what was it? How were you walking with it? And how has it changed now?
Yeah. Well, what it was that my grandfather had children by two sisters. My grandmother and her sister, my aunt. And so the family secret was that he was married to one sister. And so the family secret was, you know, we can't tell anybody that he was married to one sister but had a child by another sister. Mm-hmm. And so my dad was sort of this secret love child. And as he would say, the bastard child
yeah.
of the family. And so our whole last name was a lie. That's yeah. what I walked around with all my life, trying to understand who was I? What is that?
Yeah.
You know, my name is Leslie Cunningham. It was always this thing. I was always intrigued by last names and history and,
yeah.
you know, where does all this come from? And so I went on a journey to understand that. And so that was the family secret. Yeah,
yeah.
Just uncovering really some old wounds and, you know, healing, yeah. healing a new generation, not allowing that secret to continue on, but really trying to heal this new generation of family that were totally ripped apart as a result of this secret. You know,
yeah.
I never knew my first cousins. I never knew my cousins or, you know, was never close to my aunt. And it was just simply because of this deep family secret and a lot of, you know, challenges.
Yeah.
That came with, you know.
But you know now.
I know now.
And a lot of
it's
that
so
is
fabulous.
Yeah.
Too.
You but you went and sought that.
I did.
And somebody has to have the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to be like, I am going to go and seek it. I'm going to reconnect and relink. The
Sankofa.
DNA change and bring it, in other words, just like the secret inside of our bodies
mm-hmm.
and bring it forward and bring it out. And story can do that, you know.
That's right.
So
just that's right.
Just the plot of story can do that. It's just like this stuff is like invisible on my DNA change, which, by the way, is not that invisible, because when you see the film, it's like, damn,
I know.
Leon Claxton. It's like, you're like the female carbon
image.
Copy. You look just
spitting
like
image. I mean,
his
you can't
ass.
Deny. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is awesome.
And I never met him. He passed away, you know, before I was a baby when he passed away. And so,
yeah.
But the thing is, you know what's funny is that even growing up as a child and as a young adult, I've always wanted a grandfather.
Yeah.
I've always wanted that grandfather figure.
Yeah.
You know, I never knew, knew of my grandfathers. They both passed away, you know, but I was able to have a relationship with my
yes.
grandfather through the making of this film and the telling of his life. I've written him letters, you know, in recent years, just sort of asking for his permission to tell this story. And so I found a relationship with my grandfather that was amazing. That's been amazing.
I love that. Yeah. It's kind of like confirmation and affirmation for that thing that I keep saying about, you know, your stories can heal. Mm-hmm. It can heal the generations that came before you. Your story and your courage to tell that story can heal the generations yet to come.
That's right.
And definitely it can heal you in this lifetime, but it's not just about healing you in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. No, but then you got to commit to affirming the truth, you know. It's what we were talking about in the workshop last night is, you know, when you get timid about telling, about writing your memoir, about telling your story, about digging for those truths, mm-hmm. just remember you can only do two things with it while you're here in this lifetime. You can affirm it or deny it.
That's right.
And you may as well affirm it, because denying it just puts disease back in your body.
Yeah.
You know, but affirming it sets your body harmonized and free mm-hmm. in such a way that everybody who's around you, who breathes your breath, you know, they are breathing the breath of someone who is free and liberated, and then they are free and liberated, you know?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's, absolutely. It's the truth. It's so liberating.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You better tell somebody.
It's super liberating. I got a new, you know, to know your history and where you're from, even if, you know, Cunningham is not a part of my DNA.
Yeah.
You know, I do know the bloodline now, you know, and I know myself better and my family better than I had ever known, you know. And so it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to know your DNA.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even just to know who you've been spending time with, who's been influencing you in the ways that they parent mm-hmm. you, or the ways that, you know. So
absolutely.
Thank you, Leslie.
This is so awesome.
This is way awesome.
Thank you guys. You should be out here in Durham. This is an amazing day.
Yes. And I think we cleared the patio. There were some other people on this deck,
mm-hmm.
but I think, you know, we've been speaking the real speak. And I won't say we cleared them away. I think they probably went up and got to do. They were like, you know what? I need to go get my life straight.
I know.
They're like, there's some preaching going on, some corner it's Durham funny. Corner preaching. And what's the name of this place again? I just kept have this.
See, now he said it, but I forgot it.
I know, right?
He said Rufina.
Rufina.
Like that. I'm chopping it up. Don't
we could tell you the address.
I know. South Driver Street. 405 South Driver Street.
Is
right on the corner of Driver and Angier. You must come check out the Black Queer Coffee Cafe.
Yeah, and this is definitely
Book Cafe.
Yeah, inspired me today. And it reminds me of what Candace was talking about in the last podcast, of being like, you know, treat yourself well in terms of decadence, like, you know, why shouldn't you be able to sit at the coffee shop at 1 o'clock in the afternoon having a conversation? That is your work. You know, there's the work that you believe that you are supposed to be 9 to 5 doing because you're in the capitalism machine and your body's in it, you're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's that work. And then there is your work. There is, if you be still and be quiet, what you know is your purpose and what is to be. And there is that work. So I'm glad that we can be out here.
Absolutely.
And be the people, you know, who can be out here telling the stories. I'm gonna say one more thing, because it reminded me of I was going by the on my way to the gym, mm-hmm. and so I was going by my old neighborhood that I want to move back to in Durham, and I was like, oh man, yeah, you know that you've entered the gentrified neighborhood when it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you're rushing to get somewhere and you go past the coffee shop and all the white 30-somethings are hanging out at the coffee shop. And the Black people, you know, like, wait a minute, this is a lot of Black people who live around here. Where the Black people at? It's like, they got their ass at work.
That's right.
Because they have to be making the machine work. But then we have to just remember that we don't have to be making that machine work. There's another.
Indeed.
Exactly. There's this other system. There's this system that is the system, which is nature. That other system.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That other system is some white made.
Manufactured
with your, you know, with your body as the fodder in it, you know. But nature is the system, and you are part of nature. And inside the nature of your thoughts and your mind and your body and your spirit is whatever it is that you are supposed to actually be doing.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
Zelda.
On that, Ashe. On that note, I'm gonna end this shit.
Bull City.
Peace. You better tell somebody.
Check out Leslie Cunningham's website at lesliecunninghamfilms.com or hit her up on Instagram at lesliecunninghamfilms and connect with me at my website, zeldalockhart.com, or hit me up on Instagram at zelda.lockhart. Or you can always check out my nonprofit website, herstorygardenstudios.com, where Black women self-define, heal, and liberate through the literary arts, through story, and through nature. And don't forget, Recollect is member-supported. So, drop some coins in the jukebox, boo, and push play.